From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurates new cabinet ministers. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla hopes new House Speaker improves public trust and productivity. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has appointed two new cabinet members on Wednesday morning, 17 of January, in a minor reshuffle. Former Golkar Secretary General Idrus Marham has been appointed as Social Affairs Minister to replace Kofifa Indar Parawansa, who is running in the East Java gubernatorial election. Meanwhile, former Indonesian military TNI Commander General Retired Muldoko has been appointed to replace former anti-corruption activist Teten Masduki as the Presidential Chief of Staff. Air Marshal Yusu Sutisna has been appointed as Air Force Chief of Staff. The former chairman of the Soccer Association of Indonesia, PSSI, General Retired Agung Gumelar, has been appointed as a member of the Presidential Advisory Council, One Team Press. Hanura politician Usman Sabta Odang confirmed Muldoko appointment, said that Muldoko has good credibility. With Idrus' appointment, Golkar now has three representatives in the cabinet, along with Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto. Muldoko's appointment also increases the number of military retirees in cabinet-level position. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla expressed high hope to the new House Speaker Bambang Susatyo. Yusuf Kalla, a senior politician of the Golkar Party, hoped that the House of Representatives under Bambang Susatyo can increase the public's trust, especially on corruption eradication commitments. In addition, Bambang Susatyo is also expected to maximize the productivity of DPR's performance, especially in producing regulation or laws. This was said by the Vice President Yusuf Kalla to reporters at the Vice President's office, Jakarta, on Tuesday, 16 of January.
His hope can manage and increase public trust to the House of Representatives. Secondly, to make efficiency of the budget, making the DPR really more productive.
Golkar politician Bambang Susatyo officially serves as the new House Speaker. He was inaugurated by the Supreme Court Chancellor Hatta Ali in the plenary session of the House of Representatives on Monday, January 15, 2018. In his first speech as the Speaker of the House, Bambang Susatyo highlighted several issues such as corruption. Indonesia is a country with population of internet users of over 100 million becomes an opportunity for e-commerce business developers. This is proven because in the last 3 years, the growth of electronic commerce showed a positive trend. Head of Business Development of Ralali.com, May Riana, told reporters in Badung, Bali province on Tuesday, 16 of January, said the e-commerce business tendency has always increased since 2015. In 2017, electronic trade growth reached 700% or sevenfold over the previous year.
Nah, dari growth 7 kali lipat itu di
Well, from the sevenfold growth in 2018, we only estimate the increase is twofold. It is 200% and that figure has reached the trillions. This is our estimation per year in 2018. The growth is estimated across all lines from the sellers, active account holders, to the traffic. So far, the annual traffic reaches 5 million visits. May Riana further said the growth is evenly distributed throughout the territory of Indonesia, not limited to Jabodetabek, Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi area. The e-commerce transactions have also reached to other regions such as Bali, Sumatra, and Kalimantan. Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance INDEF, Eni Sri Hartati, said Indonesia's economic growth in 2018 could exceed from the government's target of 5.4%. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, 16 of January, she explained in 2017, the growth of neighboring countries such as Vietnam, Singapore, Philippines, and Malaysia have improved. The improving condition of the external economy boosted optimism and showed a recovery in the global economy. According to him, Indonesia has the potential sources of extraordinary economic growth. Any explained, seeing from the potential of resources and markets, Indonesia is much better than other countries in ASEAN. Nevertheless, there are still many challenges such as slowing household consumption and limited realization of investment figures.
PR 2018, bagaimana?
The homework in 2018 is how the government doing recovery of public purchasing power immediately. Secondly, how to realize the commitment of investors to invest in the real sector. The investment in the real sector is the key, because if we only stay in a portfolio like in 2017, there have no significant contribution to economic growth. Eni Hartati further explained the effectiveness of government spending also gives a significant impact for the economic growth. The government has a budget of more than 2,000 trillion rupiah. According to him, the procurement of goods amounting to 400 trillion can be used to absorb domestic product that can promote the Indonesian industry. In addition, the village fund can also be used to improve rural product. Therefore, rural product can meet domestic demand even for export. The cooperation contract with the Japanese government through the Grand Assistance for Grassroots Human Security Project Program worth 1.7 billion rupiah signed on Tuesday, 16 of January. The signing of the contract was carried out by the Consulate General of Japan in Medan, North Sumatra, Takeshi Ishii, with Chairman of Nurul Huda Islamic Education Foundation, Batu Island, South Nias, North Sumatra, Mukhlis Tanjung, and Chairman of Al Mubaraka Islamic Educational Foundation at Kunyet Mule, North Aceh, Tengku Hanafi. Vice Consul of Japan Daiki Yokoyama, representing the Japanese Consulate General, said that although the amount of grants is different, the construction of all school buildings is expected to be completed within 6 months. The donation to the Islamic School MTS is around 815 million rupiah, while for the assistant of Mubaraka Junior School in North Aceh about 939 million rupiah. The aides are just signed, so we hope to start construction immediately, starting this month or February. The chairman of Nurul Huda Islamic Foundation, Mukhlis Tanjung, said the grant will be used to build 6 classrooms of MTS Durul Muta Alimin. Meanwhile, chief executive of the Al-Mubaraka Islamic Education Foundation of Kunyat Mulay, Zubir, said the grants given by the Japanese government will be used to build 6 junior high school classrooms. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The state-owned enterprises ministry has reshuffled the boards of directors of state-owned railway firm KAI, its subsidiary PT Kereta Api Komuter Indonesia KCI, and state-owned train manufacturer PT Industri Kereta Api INKA. Minister Rini Sumarno replaced all president directors of the 3 state-owned firms and reshuffled other directors, KCI spokesman Eva Khairunisa, in a statement issued on Tuesday, 16 of January, said that PT KCI's Board of Commissioners has appointed Zubakir acting KCI president director while continuing his position as operation and marketing director. Eva said Zubakir replaced M. Nurul Fadila, who had the position since February 2015 and had since been appointed KAI's infrastructure management director. Rini will also replace KAI's president director Edi Sukmoro, who has been appointed KAI's Logistic and Development Director. Meanwhile, Rini appointed Budi Nufiantoro as INKA President Director, replacing R. Agus H. Purnomo. Budi was previously KAI's Logistic and Development Director. The last item, Indonesian Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan on Tuesday, 16 of January, expressed his commitment to restore the Citarum River after it was heavily polluted by waste from domestic and textile industry. The minister has sought to clean the river so that for the next 5 to 10 years, starting from this year, people would be able to use water straight from the river. Minister Luhut Panjaitan noted in Bandung, West Java, after leading a talk on introducing the restoration program of Citarum River, that the ministry hopes the river will become cleaner and the water will become safer to consume in the next 5 years. He stressed that the restoration project would be successful if everyone is willing to get involved. The minister reaffirmed that the Indonesian government will take no grant from overseas institutions, including ASEAN Development Bank, ADB, which offers 200 trillion rupiah to fund the restoration project. The minister stated that every ministry has a budget allocated for a conservation program. For example, Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry, as well as Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, have allocated their annual budget for funding preservation projects such as restoring the Citarum River. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated new cabinet ministers. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla hopes the new House Speaker improves public trust and productivity. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitling Vancouver Summit Solution for Korean Conflict. At least 20 countries on Tuesday held a high-level conference discussing the two Korean conflict in Vancouver, Canada. In the meeting, initiated by the United States and Canada, the start of the talks was still focused on imposing sanctions on North Korea for its activities in conducting nuclear tests. Perhaps that is why China was not invited in Vancouver. As is known, Beijing is North Korea's major ally and trade partner. The China's absence may relate to US and Japanese statesmen before the conference. They insisted that the conference would focus on sanctions imposed on North Korea rather than seeking solution to the feud between the two nations living on the same peninsula. Japanese government sources said that countries in the world need to force the North Korean government to change its policies. By maximizing pressures through all available means, including through full implementation of United Nations Security Council resolutions. On the other hand, it is still possible that the Vancouver summit would come up with another solution that leads to both Korea's peace move. Host of the conference, Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland, as reported by Vietnamese radio, had been in talks with her South Korean counterpart Kyung Hwa on various issues, including bilateral relations. On the sidelines of the summit yesterday, Foreign Minister Freeland revealed the possibility of a diplomatic solution to solve the North Korean nuclear test problem. On the same day, Foreign Minister Freeland also held a separate meeting with the Japanese Foreign Minister, Taro Kono. From these facts, there appeared to be an attempt to resolve the crisis of North and South Korea through a diplomatic approach. The efforts of a truly diplomatic solution are still open. North Korea and South Korea, on Tuesday, January 9th, seem to have a similar view about the need for military talks to ease tension between the two countries. As reported by BBC, South Korea called on North Korea to end hostile acts that could escalate tensions, while North Korea agreed to the need of a peaceful atmosphere on the Korean Peninsula. It remains to be seen whether the summit in Vancouver could help both Koreans solve their problems or not. Apparently, the key is in the United States that hosted the meeting with Canada. If Washington persists in its policy, diplomatic efforts may still be difficult to achieve. While the shift in Washington's stance is likely to change Beijing's position as Pyongyang's main ally, it is undeniable that the two Koreans cannot be separated from the influence of the United States and China. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event of the first meeting of the United Nations Security Council was held on January 17, 1946. The United Nations Security Council, UNSC, is one of the six principal organs of the United Nations charged with the maintenance of international peace and security, as well as accepting new members to the United Nations and approving any changes to its United Nations Charter. Its powers include the establishment of peacekeeping operations, the establishment of international sanctions, and the authorization of military action through Security Council resolutions. It is the only UN body with the authority to issue binding resolutions to member states. The Security Council held its first session on January 17, 1946 in Church House, London. Like the UN as a whole, the Security Council was created following World War II to address the failings of a previous international organization, the League of Nations, in maintaining world peace. In its early decades, the Security Council was largely paralyzed by the Cold War division between the US and USSR and their respective allies, though it authorized interventions in the Korean War and the Congo Crisis and peacekeeping missions in the Suez Crisis, Cyprus, and West New Guinea. Now we have a look on January 17, 1948, when the Ranville Agreement signed by Indonesia and the Netherlands. The Ranville Agreement was a United Nations Security Council brokered political accord between the Netherlands, who were seeking to re-establish their colony in Southeast Asia, and Indonesian Republicans seeking to secure Indonesian independence during the Indonesian National Revolution. Ratified on January 17, 1948, the agreement was an unsuccessful attempt to resolve the disputes that arose following the 1946 Linggar Jati Agreement. It recognized a ceasefire along the so-called Van Mook Line, an artificial line which connected the most advanced Dutch positions. The agreement is named after USS Ranville, the ship on which the negotiations were held while anchored in Jakarta Bay. Now we end the segment with the tragedy which occurred on January 17, 1995. An earthquake in Kobe, Japan. The Great Hanshin earthquake, or Kobe earthquake, occurred on January 17, 1995 at 5:46:53 Japan Standard Time, or January 16 at 20:46:53 UTC, or Universal Time Coordinated, in the southern part of Hyogo Prefecture, Japan, known as Hanshin. It measured 6.9 on the moment magnitude scale and 7 on the JMA Shindo intensity scale. The tremors lasted for approximately 20 seconds. The focus of the earthquake was located 17 km beneath its epicenter on the northern end of Awaji Island, 20 km away from the city of Kobe. Up to 6,434 people lost their lives. About 4,600 of them were from Kobe. Among major cities, Kobe, with its population of 1.5 million, was the closest to the epicenter and hit by the strongest tremors. This was Japan's worst earthquake in the 20th century, after the Great Kanto earthquake in 1923, which claimed more than 105,000 lives. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to the segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll talk about Indonesian flights are ready to face the European Union assessment. Director General of Civil Aviation, the Ministry of Transportation Agus Santoso, invited the flight operators in Papua at Sentani Airport Organizer Office on Sunday, January 14.
The meeting was aimed to give guidance and discuss about aviation safety improvement in Papua. He was accompanied by Director of the Plane Airworthiness Operation, Muzaffar Ismail. They invited 5 scheduled airlines, 20 non-scheduled airlines, and 6 social mission airlines operated in Papua. Muzaffar said, the activity is aimed to make preparation in facing the European Union assessment on March 12 to 21. The European Union will assess flight assessment in Papua and some other airlines such as Sriwijaya Air, Lion Air, Batik Air and Wings Air. Indonesia has managed to increase category level from Category 2 becomes Category 1 based on the assessment of the United States Aviation Authority, Federal Aviation Administration. From the World Civil Aviation Agency got the value of 81.15. The figure exceeds the world average values of 63%. Muzaffar Ismail said, with their achievement, Indonesia has quite provision to face the European Union assessment. Director General of Civil Aviation, Agus Santoso, also said, Indonesia is actually pursuing recognition from the European Union. The recognition is required in order Indonesian flights will no longer prohibited entering Europe. For this year, the European Union selected the Papuan region because the number of airports in Papua is 1/3 of the total number of airports in Indonesia. In addition, the airport in Papua will be developed like airport in other parts of Western Indonesia. Many aspects to be assessed including regulation, the airport, airline, and air goodness. Meanwhile, President Director of the Indonesian Air Navigation Service Provider, Novi Rianto, said that the company is continuously improving its service by making air traffic guidance through the latest procedures and technology instruments. This is done to improve flight safety and efficiency. That was my Indonesia for today.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has appointed 2 new cabinet members on Wednesday morning, 17 of January, in a minor reshuffle. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla expressed high hope to the new House Speaker Bambang Susatyo. Indonesia, as a country with population of internet users of over 100 million, becomes an opportunity for e-commerce business developers. Director of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEF, Eni Sri Hartati, said Indonesia's economic growth in 2018 could exceed from the government's target of 5.4%. The cooperation contract with the Japanese government through the Grand Assistance for Grassroots Human Security Project program worth 1.7 billion rupiah signed on Tuesday, 16 of January. The state-owned enterprises ministry has reshuffled the boards of directors of state-owned railway firm KAI, its subsidiary PT Kereta Api Komuter Indonesia KCI, and state-owned train manufacturer PT Industri Kereta Api INKA. And the last item, Indonesian Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan on Tuesday, 16 of January, expressed his commitment to restore the Citarum River. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today, citizen, we will invite you to South Sulawesi province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is an archipelagic country which has the beauty of nature. The beauty of nature is sometimes hidden behind the forest or at the corners. One of them is in South Sulawesi province. This place is Apalarang Beach. Listeners, unlike other beaches, Apalarang Beach is located at the edge of steep cliff. Because of that, it is called Apalarang Cliff. The local people usually hold attraction by jumping from the cliff to the sea. If interested, tourists can also test their adrenaline by jumping from the cliff. But you do not have to worry. For tourists who want to go to the sea but they are afraid to jump, there is stair to the sea. The transparent water sea makes tourists easy to see its bottom. Besides swimming, tourists can also snorkel to enjoy the condition of the beach. Listeners, at Apalarang Beach, you do not have to worry about lack of supplies because there are a lot of restaurants which provide delicious food with cheap prices. At the restaurants, you can enjoy the catch of fresh fish from local fishermen. This beach is also completed with facility for tourist comfort such as gazebo, restroom and souvenir shop. Listeners, Apalarang Beach is located at Ara Village, Bonto Bahari Sub-District, Bulukumba Regency, South Sulawesi. To visit this place, tourists are suggested to use personal vehicles or to rent a car, because there is no public transportation. We also suggest hiring guide because the trip is quite confusing if you do alone. To the beach from Makassar City, you have to take the south by taking around 4.5 hours. Then the trip is continued to Bira Bay until Ara Village. Arriving at Ara Village, not long time, tourists will arrive at Apalarang Beach. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Apalarang Beach in South Sulawesi. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Transportasi, which in English means transportation, stagent. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Transportasi, transportasi, in English transportation. Kota Jogja, Kota Jogja, in English Jogja City. Transportasi umum, transportasi umum, public transportation. Taksi, taksi, in English taxi. Kereta, kereta, train. Bus kota, bus kota, city bus. Taksi online, taksi online, in English online taxi. Mendengar, mendengar, to hear or to listen. Becak, becak, in English pedicab. Baiklah, baiklah, in English all right. Terima kasih, terima kasih, in English thank you. Informasi, informasi, in English information. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled transportasi, or in English means transportation. The conversation is between A, foreign tourist, and B, police. A, foreign tourist. Permisi, Pak, apakah di kota Yogyakarta ada transportasi umum? Permisi, Pak, apakah di kota Yogyakarta ada transportasi umum? In English, excuse me, sir. Are there any public transportation available in Yogyakarta? The police? Ya, tentu ada. Ya, tentu ada. In English, yes, of course. The tourists? Ada apa saja? Ada apa saja? In English, what kind of transportation out there? The police? Ada Trans Jogja, taksi, kereta, bus kota, dan taksi online. Ada Trans Jogja, taksi, kereta, bus kota, dan taksi online. In English, there are available Trans Jogja, taxi, train, city bus, and online taxi. Turis, katanya di sana juga ada becak. Katanya di sana juga ada becak. In English, some people said there is also available pedicab. Police, ya, di sana juga ada becak. Ya, di sana juga ada becak. In English, yes, there is also pedicab there. Turis, baiklah, terima kasih informasinya. Baiklah, terima kasih informasinya. In English, all right, thank you for the information. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again tomorrow with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you again and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs from the music group Abdul and the Coffee Theory. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Lovable. Happy listening.
Meski ku sering mengeluh tentang semua tingkah lakumu, maunya selalu mengatur aku. Tapi kau sangat perhatian, apapun yang aku lakukan, kau ingatkanku jangan lupa makan. kamu selalu football buat aku. Karena kamu selalu football buat aku. Karena kamu selalu football buat aku. Karena kamu selalu football buat aku. Walaupun kamu sangat bawel, komentarin ku ini itu, dan ku tak tahu apa maumu. Kadang bajuku kurang rapi, kadang sepatuku kurang matching, atau rambutku yang berantakan. Tapi kamu selalu football buat aku. Tapi kamu selalu football buat aku. Tapi kamu selalu football buat aku. Tapi kamu
entitled Lovable, performed by Abdul and the Coffee Theory, is a band formed by Tengku Muhammad Abdullah Amin Asari, or better known as Abdul. Abdul, who was a solo singer, chose to form a band in 2008. The person of the group, Abdul, the vocalist, Alex keyboardist, Indra guitarist, Andre Kuple, the bassist, Horak saxophonist, Andre Chilling, the drummer. The name Abdul and the Coffee Theory emerged from Abdul's hobby and his friends who like to gather and drink coffee. Moreover, the music genre brought by the band also very suitable to be enjoyed in cafes, namely pop and jazz genre. The typical jazz romantic songs of Abdul and the Coffee Theory also easily get a place in the heart of Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bahagia Itu Sederhana. Happy listening.
senyummu ketika dunia seakan mau hancur. Kita bercanda, tertawa bersama sederhana.
Bahagia itu milik kita. Aku raja dan engkau ratunya. Walau cuma kita berdua yang tahu, aku dan kamu, kita berdua bahagia.
The song Bahagia Itu Sederhana by Abdul and the Coffee Theory. In addition to the jazz songs, easy listening of lyrics becomes characteristic of the band. The simple lyrics with deep meaning of love can be found in 5 albums and 4 singles worked by Abdul and the Coffee Theory. Almost all leading works of Abdul and the Coffee Theory can be listened precisely at cafes in Indonesia. The success of Abdul and the Coffee Theory is not only presented through their own songs. The songs made by Abdul, the vocalist, for other Indonesian singers are also quite successful, such as Moving On, sung by Andin, and Just For You by Dinda with Abdul and the Coffee Theory. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs by Abdul and the Coffee Theory entitled Pengen Marah Selalu and Just For You. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Suasana yang romantis berubah jadi ironis, yang harusnya jadinya segala cara telah ku coba, gaya badut sampai Sri Mulat, yang harusnya jadinya semua yang benar jadi salah. Hari pertama PMS, jangan dibang,
jangan dibang,
jangan dilawan,
jangan dilawan,
dan jangan dimasukin ke perasaan. Semua yang benar jadi salah hari pertama
PMS hanya satu kali dalam sebulan, cuma satu kali dalam sebulan. Segala cara telah ku coba, gaya badut sampai Srimulat yang harusnya jadinya. Semua yang benar jadi salah hari pertama. PMS jangan dibantu,
jangan dibantu,
jangan dilawan,
jangan dilawan,
dan jangan dimasukin ke perasaan. Semua yang benar jadi salah hari pertama.
PMS
hanya satu kali dalam sebulan, cuma satu kali dalam sebulan, hanya satu kali dalam sebulan. Maklumin aja, ikhlasin aja, jangan dilawan, oh, ikhlasin aja, maklumin aja.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dan dirimu, satu yang
just for you.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Kau datang dengan sejuta pesonamu. Kau buatku terpaku saat kau tersenyum. Sesaat waktu berhenti saat kau langkahkan kaki. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. Bibirku membeku tak dapat berkata, karena cantik parasmu sungguh tiada celah. Kau lah cahaya dunia, kau lah cantik yang sempurna. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. Aku tak dapat menahan gejolak dalam hati. Jiwa ini telah luluh saat kita bertemu. Apakah ku akan mampu memiliki dirimu? Ku rasa ku telah jatuh hati padamu. Kau datang dengan sejuta pesonamu. Kau buatku terpaku saat kau tersenyum. Kau lah cahaya dunia, kau lah cantik yang sempurna. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. Oh, ta-da-da-da. Kau lah cahaya dunia, kau lah cantik yang sempurna. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, yeah, yeah. You are the beauty, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're the beauty. You are the beauty. You're the beauty, beauty is you, and the beauty is you, and the beauty is you, beauty is you, you, yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Bila kau ada di sini, kan terjawab semua tanya yang telah ada sekian lama di hatiku.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.